Good afternoon, my chosen family. I'm a compulsive eater. My name is Shirley. Could you please join me in the serenity prayer after a moment of silence for those who are still out there suffering and trying to find this secret place? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Oh, I'm so grateful that I am here and happy that all of you are here. This is not a Zoom event. I get to hug people. My God. Oh, my God. It's so wonderful. I've been on Zoom for the last 2.5 years, like probably most of you, and all I could ever see was this much of people. And now when I see them in person, like, oh, my God, I didn't know. Anyway, I am going to do my best to explain to you why I chose to do this workshop. When I was asked to do it, I didn't think about a title or anything. It just came to my mind because this is what I was dealing with and didn't know. I didn't have language for it. I had no idea what this thing was at all. And I believe, not most, but some of you have heard my story. I've been around a little bit, and I share as often as I'm asked to. I never say no unless something comes up that I have no control over. But I always say yes when I'm asked to do something. So when I was asked to do this workshop, I said, of course I will. So here I am. I am a compulsive eater. Had no idea I was a compulsive eater. I had been in AA for 22 years when I got nosy enough to ask someone how she was losing her weight. I'm a nosy lady. I ask you a lot of questions, so beware. Anyway, when I put the plug in the jug is when I started putting on the pounds, you know, because I had to replace the booze with something else that had sugar in it. Oh, that big word, S, that sweet stuff. You know, I'm not the kind of person that would sit at the table and eat a lot of food and go back for seconds. I'm a junk food eater. I like stuff that are in brown bags that I could put on the side of my chair where nobody knew what I was eating. And that would happen especially while watching the television. Friday nights were my binging nights. I would put that bag of stuff on the side of my chair and I would eat it until I ran out. And when I ran out, I'd get up and go looking through the house for my hidden stuff. I thought maybe I had put it away somewhere and I had a stash. And that went on for a very long time, a long time. And I started expanding. My body started getting like, doop, 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 out of shape, you know? And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And you've heard here in these rooms this weekend about the many types of things that people have tried. And I tried them all myself. I did liquids. I did the one with that round, brown thing. I tried all that stuff. I didn't eat for a couple of times a day. It was like at dinner time, maybe I could, you know, eat and be satisfied, but that didn't work. And I continued to get big. I'm not wearing this shirt because I'm cold. This was my cover-up. I had a denim blue shirt for 5 days of the week that had somebody's name on it. I don't wear that stuff anymore. I don't advertise for anyone anymore. I used to wear a large denim shirt over my body to cover it up because I didn't like seeing the silhouette in the mirrors. I didn't like it when I walked in front of a store. Oh my God, is that me? I mean, I was just like, oh, flabbergasted. I did not grow up big. I was thin. I was a very thin lady. Even from childhood, I was thin. I didn't start gaining that weight until, you know, I put the, like I said, the plug in the jug. And then it went boop, boop. I just got completely out of control with my eating. And I had run out of options. I didn't know what to do. And some of you know that I did this horrible thing to my body that I didn't know that I could share about it. I was in a meeting one evening and I heard a person say, I did yada, yada, yada. Oh my God. I thought I was the only one in the world that did something like that. I had this wonderful doctor in Beverly Hills that I was taking someone to that I knew, but I didn't know he did this particular thing. And his little nurse had this beautiful figure. And I questioned her because I'm nosy. I said, hey, how did you get that perfect, beautiful shape? And she said, oh, you want to talk to the doctor about it? He can tell you. And I said, yes. So when I went into his office, I said, what is it that you do here that helped her to lose all that weight and get that beautiful shape? I thought maybe she just went to the gym and, you know, got herself in shape. He said, well, I do liposuction. Now, what the heck is liposuction? I never heard of it. So he introduced me to lipo. And I said, oh, okay, so I'm going to look like her when you finish? He lied. I didn't look like her, and I still don't look like her. So anyway, I said, well, how much does it cost? And he gave me a number. I swear I don't remember. But what he said to me that was important was, do you have credit card? And I said, yes, I do have credit cards. I do. He said, well, you can pay for it with your credit card. And I said, okay. And I said, when can we do it? How soon can we do it? Like, I want it today. Let's get this going, you know? So anyway, I made the appointment. And he said, you might as well enjoy yourself because after this, you know, there might be some restrictions, which I did not know. So I got a pint of stuff that I ate before I went, and it was brown. And I'm telling you, when they did that lipo, it was the worst decision I ever made in my life. Worst. I wished I had never done that, but it's the past, and I can't undo that. You know, I don't even know how much the surgery cost. I swear to you, I don't even remember. Because I blacked out or whatever. But anyway, I got really sick. And this surgery was done like secretive. I didn't tell anybody where I was going. I just left home and went to the hospital because I thought they were going to do that surgery and I'd go home that night. But that didn't happen. I had to stay 2 extra days because I got deathly ill. I mean, really, really ill. So anyway, when I left the hospital and I went in for my checkup, guess what? He did not give me a food plan. He didn't tell me how to eat. So I went back to my old behaviors of eating that stuff in those bags. And guess what? Boop, I ended up in those blue shirts again. You know, I had to get some more blue shirts. I didn't buy them. They were donated to me by people that worked in, by, you know, the hospitals all had their names on them, and all these other companies had their names because they wanted to advertise. And instead of collecting shawls, then I was collecting blue denim shirts. So I had a lot of them, and I wore those shirts, like I said, until I got nosy enough to ask my beautiful friend, whom I haven't seen but once since I've been in the program, Lord willing, if I don't eat anything tonight besides my dinner, I'll have 13 years tomorrow. I'll have 13 years tomorrow. And I have been here ever since the first meeting. So what happened is I'm in this other program, and I go to my meeting, and this lady would sit by me every week she would sit by me, and I was like, how did you lose all that weight? And she finally decided to tell me, if you want to know what I'm doing, why don't you come and meet me at this place. She didn't say it was a meeting. Meet me over on Robertson and Melrose. And that particular Saturday morning, I took off and I went to Robertson and Melrose. No address, just go to Robertson and Melrose. So I knew about the log cabin. I knew about that place because I'd gone to some other meetings, and I thought, maybe that's where they are. And this is no offense to anyone. Please, don't take it personally. I walked in, and there was a lady sharing. She had been in the program over 20 years, and she looked like I did and a little bit more, but she didn't eat the things that we don't eat. And I wondered, what's happening here? Why isn't she looking like my friend who was like, so anyway, I went to the literature table to get some literature, and I should know I'm in AA for 100 years. You don't do that while the meeting is going on. So as I'm looking through the paperwork, the guy came over and, you don't do that. And I, oh, God, let me get out of here. So I ran. I left that meeting, and I called my friend. I said, where in the world are you? Where are you? I said, I'm over here at the log cabin. She said, I'm not there. I said, well, I'm done. I'm not going to look any further today. So I see her Wednesday, the following Wednesday, and I said, hey, look it. When is there another meeting? So she goes, Sunday morning in Hollywood. I go, okay. Santa Monica and Gower. And I just go to Santa Monica and Gower. I don't know anything about that neighborhood. I don't know what's over there. So I get in my car, and I'm driving over there, and I'm going around and around, and I'm looking for this place. And lo and behold, I'm driving down the street, and I see some people coming out of a church, because, you know, we meet in church basements. And I see people coming out with their books, and I'm thinking they're the material for the meetings. And I thought, what are they doing? I looked at the sign. What are you doing? Jehovah Witnesses coming from church. I said, well, I guess this is just not for me, because if I try something 3 times and I don't succeed, I'm done. So I went back to that meeting the following Wednesday, and I said, hey, what's up with this? Are you telling me the truth, or are you just playing with me? She said, no, really, there's a meeting. Why didn't you come in? I said, give me a number. I'll be able to find it if you give me an address. So the following Sunday, she gave me an address, and I did go to that location. And I drove up and I saw all these beautiful people outside chit-chatting and some were smoking. I go, uh-huh, that must be it, because, you know, I'm accustomed to doing that. I used to be a smoker myself and I would hang out in the front and smoke. So I got out of my car and I went in and, hi, how are you? My name, and I said, oh God, who are these people? So I went in and there weren't very many people in the room, and I just started setting up chairs because I knew how to do that from my other program. And I got busy because I didn't know any of you and I didn't want to interact with any of you because I'm shy, I'm reserved. I don't want you to know anything about me. So lo and behold, the meeting started. My friend walks in and she says, oh, I'm so happy you're here. I said, yeah, I guess I am too. I don't know. So the speaker started sharing and was talking about what we do and what we don't do. And when I heard what we don't do, I said, you got to be kidding me. How do you live without eating that stuff? She said, well, if you stick around, you'll learn. I said, oh my gosh. What did I get myself into? And when they asked for newcomers, my friend says, raise your hand. I said, no. I got stuff at home. I got to go eat. I have a lot of that stuff at home that I want to finish because I am not throwing it away. So I said, if I come back next week, I'll do that. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me, and we happened to be in the same profession because we chit-chatted. I said, I could ask him to be my sponsor, and I could probably, you know, play around with whatever it is that we're doing, and he'll co-sign it because we do the same things, you know. And he said, oh, yes, darling, I'll sponsor you. So we did the first 30 days together, and he relapsed, and I was so upset, because he was my man. He was going to help me get through this thing. And I went back to that room, and I raised my hand, and my life began to change because I got into those questions, and I started being honest about what was going on with me, you know, that I didn't do in AA for all those years. I mean, those questions really, really make you work your butt off, and not only that, you lose your butt, you know? So I said, oh, God, this is it. Anyway, I surrendered to the program, and I needed to find another sponsor. And I looked around the rooms, and I saw these beautiful smiling faces and glittering eyes. And I said, oh, God, who can I get? Who can I manipulate? I already got a plan, because I'm not planning on giving up my stuff. I'm just going to do it on a trial basis. And I saw this beautiful woman. There was a woman in there that reminded me of my mother. And I said, ain't going there. No. So I saw this beautiful woman, and I had heard her share, and I loved her story, and she always appeared to be happy and was smiling. And I went up to her, because I was losing the weight, and I'd lost a lot of weight, and I was scared. I thought, oh, my God, am I just going to melt away? There will be no more of me. So I went up to her, and I said, hey, my name is Shirley. I need a sponsor. Can you sponsor me? She says, no. She says, I'm already booked. I said, if you don't sponsor me, I am gone. I'm out of here. And she's been my sponsor ever since. I told you I'm good at manipulation. So I got her. I got her like that. I got her. So about this body dysmorphia business, you know, as I said to you, my body, I mean, I did not have I had a shape, but it was all over the place, you know, and I didn't like it at all. So when I decided to do this workshop, that word just came out of my mouth. I go, okay. I didn't do any research on it at all. I happen to work in a field where I get to know a lot of this stuff from studies and everything. And it's when things are about me that are uncomfortable and unpleasing, that I don't like, my shape, you know, my turkey neck and all that stuff that I'm learning to love, the bumps and the knots that are on your bodies that you don't like. I've had several. Okay, no, there are no text messages here. No. That was God talking. Okay, so anyway, I've had to have several surgeries, and I didn't like the outcomes of the surgeries. I've learned to love those parts of me that, you know, in my mind were defective. I love every part of my body today. You know, I got stuff hanging here. It's okay. It's me. I'm made in the image and the likeness of my God, who loves me unconditionally. I mean, unconditionally. And that is something I had to learn, because I grew up like, you got to be perfect. You can't make any mistakes. That's a lot on a child. And you grow up with this attitude that you have got to be perfect. So when I came to the program, it was like, okay, I can get to be me. Just simply be me. And I love who I am today. I love the woman that I I have become. And I know my HP, which is my higher power, is not done with me. It's not done. There's a lot more work to do, you know? I love Sihal. Sihal has given me the opportunity to gain some self-esteem and self-worth, to be able to work in a profession where I help other people that are struggling like me if they want to know and they're receptive to it. I do share my experience, strength, and hope with a lot of those people that I work with. And I love that I get to carry the message. You know, I've gone to retreats where I've collected T-shirts that have the Sihal logo on it, and I wear them to the gym. And people are like, what is that? Sihal, Sihal what? Sihal to lose weight, you know? I carry the message any way that I can, because there are a lot, in my family in particular, my God, a lot of successful people, but, you know, they celebrate their success with, you know, all that stuff that I used to eat, things you blow candles out on, and abundance. And when I show up to events, they go, oh, my God, you're so thin. I go, no, I'm not thin. I'm just healthier because I don't look like them anymore, you know? And what a gift this is. I'm so grateful that that beautiful woman who invited me to this secret program, I think she's still around. I just haven't seen her on this side of town, and I think I saw her at a workshop that I did in the Valley like 2 or 3 years ago. It was just an opportunity to reconnect with her. But I'm truly, truly grateful that she invited me to find out what this program is about, because I would not be here with you today. I mean, I would, poof, God only knows. God only knows what I would have been like. Because shame was all over me. It was written all over me, you know. Get invited to things and I don't want to go because I don't look like other people. I can't find clothes to fit me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't want to wear it. Not today. And I don't even wear these. You know me. I don't wear this kind of stuff anymore. I just let it all hang out, you know, wherever it's hanging out from. I don't care. And I don't care what other people's opinions are about me. I know who I am. I know without a shadow of a doubt that my HP wanted me to be here in this body today. And I don't need to do anything to alter it. At all. You know, before I came into the program, I never wore any makeup at all. I didn't even look in the mirror at me. But today, I'm grateful I get to look in the mirror and I go, oh, I love you. Oh, you're gorgeous. I get to do self-talk, which has really helped me to move through this process, you know. I do have some handouts that I want you to take with you, and you can read it in your spare time. Body dysmorphia is a mental illness. If you didn't know, you know now. Yeah, and then I have something else we're going to do after this. It is a mental illness. Just I hope you can learn to love your bodies the way that I have learned to love mine, because we're all made in the image and likeness of whomever it is that you pray to. You know, my G-O-D makes no mistakes, and I'm sure that yours doesn't either. I wanted you to have those to take with you so you can see what body dysmorphia can do for you, and maybe identify some areas in your life that you want to work on. And just know, love yourself. Just love yourself. Do the program the way it is written, and I promise you, everything is going to work out the way it's supposed to. I'm going to do group participation in a minute. I have some questions that I'm going to pass, that I'm going to be passing out. And I didn't want to give you too many sheets of paper at one time because it could get noisy with the papers. Yeah. And these are just some questions that I'd like to have audience participation with. And don't be shy. Because at some point we overcome that shyness. You can put that one on the table upside down and let's participate with the questions that are coming out. And there is no judgment here at all. And no cross-talking. I think we learned that earlier. Okay,
everybody has a question?
Okay, this is a reminder that this workshop is being recorded. Once the workshop is recorded and reviewed by the Sihal WSO board or its delegates, it will be added to the Sihal website, where it will become a part of the public domain. So if you do not want to come up and use this microphone, please ask a question or share. We ask that you please sign the release waiver, which is right here. You sign the release waiver so that we can have a record of it before you speak. Okay? I appreciate you. So the first question here, it's not a question, it's just a statement. Did you know about body dysmorphia before this workshop? If you said yes, tell me how you found out. How did you know about it? Yes, over here at this table. Would you like to come up, please? Yeah, and then you have to sign this waiver. This is just protocol. Here.
I don't think I have a lot to say, so but I'm up here. Recently, I either read online or saw on television the word dysmorphia, so I was curious about it. But I think it's something that I've been aware of for a long time. It's a woman's opinion of her physical body and not liking parts of it. And I think in the United States, at least, it's because we're always comparing ourselves to the Vogue fashion models mm-hmm. and the thin actresses on television. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. And body dysmorphia does not discriminate. It hits men as well. Did you ever consider working the 7 tools of Sihal to overcome your issues with body dysmorphia like I did? And if you didn't know about this body dysmorphia, hopefully you're planning to use that moving forward. Can anybody or would anybody like to share what they might do in the future, which of the 7 tools, so that you can learn to love yourself and your body the way it is? Yes, please, thank you. I believe it's my new friend from Florida. Yes, sign the waiver.
Hi, Carmen, Food Addict.
Hey, Carmen.
Thank you so much for this workshop. I have a kind of an experiment that I do with a lot of women, mostly women. You know, if you compliment them, most of the time I've been running this like experiment in my head for a number of years. And if you compliment most women, oh, I like your hair, or I like your outfit, immediately, I would say 95% of women say, oh, really? I don't really like the color. Or, oh, I only paid $5 for it. You know, they immediately shut you down. Try it. I'm telling you, it is almost 100% like foolproof. Women typically just cannot take a compliment. And I've been thinner and less happy before, and I've been thinner and happier. Like, it's just like a spectrum, and it's really a struggle to accept where you are, you know, and also not be in denial about like when you do need to lose more weight. You know, for me, a workshop earlier about aging showed me that you know I'm aging in the program, and so my weight has crept up, and even though I'm abstinent and I'm on maintenance for many, many years, I may need to eat less, and this is really like right between the eyes. Like, I'm okay with how I look, but I know that the weight has crept up. So it's a fine balance of being aware of what I really need to do for myself with maybe moving the scale and being and accepting myself and loving who I am. I feel like program has really shown me, and I like the concept of using the tools to help me to even get better at loving myself, because I have learned to accept a compliment, and when I look at a picture of myself to say, hey, not so bad, you know, looking all right, you know, and most people go, ugh, God, can we do that again? Mm-hmm. And I sometimes just will joke and say, oh, I look damn good, you know, like, right, you know, like, it's really okay to love who I am, but also it's a fine line for me of yes. When do I need to work my program differently for my weight, because I am a food addict, so it's not like I think I will inherently always have a relationship with my body that could be dangerously negative or blindly positive. So I'm working that, and I appreciate the topic today.
Thank you. just signed there. I remembered when I first started the other program way back when. I'll never forget this lady coming up to me, complimenting me, and I wasn't accustomed to getting, thank you, accustomed to getting, to being complimented. And she came up and said, "Oh my God, that is so beautiful." And I said, "Well, I bought this over there and I did this." She said, "Just said thank you." And that's what I do today. Every time somebody compliments me, I go, "Oh, thank you, thank you. But thank you. But I want you to know where I got it from." Oh, question number two. Can you recall a time? I mean, does anybody else have a response to question number one? We're going to be on number two, but if you have an answer for number one, we can do that one. Did you consider ever working the seven tools with body dysmorphia? So if there isn't another question, we'll go to number two. Can you recall a time when you asked your higher power to remove your difficulties over negative thoughts regarding your body flaws? Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Teresa. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, this is a great topic. And I, you know, we hear that thing about negative thinking all the time, right? And I thought it was something I could kind of outthink, you know, as if, right, I could treat my mind with my mind. I you know, the 10th step, right?
Yes.
When these crop up, it doesn't say if, it says when these crop up, what do? We ask God at once to remove them and direct our attention toward what he would have us be, right? And so I love the prayer for fear, because what I've learned is that behind all the stuff I show the world, the anger, the insecurity, all that stuff, really what it's masking is fear that I'm often not even aware of, right? Mm-hmm. And so when anything comes up for me, any character defect, and now I put in negative thinking. So when negative thinking comes up, I do what it says on, what page is it, 86? Mm-hmm. To do... for fear, of yes. Whatever page it is, I think maybe 68, the prayer for fear. God, please remove this fear. God, please remove this negative thinking and direct my attention toward what you would have me be. Mm-hmm. And then I can lean back in faith, yes, into my higher power, yes, and just go where I'm supposed to go,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because I have no idea what I look like, you know, and I've just come to the conclusion that really it's none of my business, mm-hmm, you know? My mm-hmm weight is none of my business, mm-hmm, right? And how I appear to you is none of my business. Yes. And you, like, I'm 59, and there's this freedom with being 59 for me, because I'm like, I don't care, you know, this is what I look like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you when it's triggered is when a man comes in the picture, mm, and I'm like, oh no, what's he gonna think? How am I supposed to look for him, you know? And that's when it comes up. So it's good, because it's kind of forcing me to do this work, you know, and
absolutely
get closer to God. And really, the only thing that's my business is my relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? My absent, which is in God's hands, and working my program, doing my part, mm-hmm, and letting God do the rest.
Beautiful.
So I got
beautiful.
It.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Who's next? Who'd like to come up next? Don't be shy. The question is, can you recall a time when you asked your higher power, or whomever it is you choose to pray to remove your difficulties over negative thoughts regarding your body flaws? Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Hi, Renee, recovering compulsive eater. What a great question. You know, because I am, I constantly get into that negative thinking, as well as comparing and despairing, mm-hmm, you know, which means, you know, not only is it fear, but it's self-centeredness. You know, I'm all I have, but I'm all I think about, you know? And, you know, it's just being self-obsessed, self-absorbed, and self-centered. Mm. You know, I'm 74 years old, and I still find myself getting caught up into that drama of all of this stuff that's happening between my ears. You know, but the beauty of it is I recognize that. And my time in that drama has diminished. It decreases over time, you know, and I'm able... you know, to recognize that, you know, this is not working well, and, you know, I need to turn it over. I need to allow my God to intervene. You know, when the measure of my anxiety is measured by my distance from my God. And, you know, so realizing that that angst, that tension is a result of me attempting to do something, to change something. And I am powerless over that. So, you know, the beauty of it is, you know, that recognition, being in acceptance, you know, this is who I am. This is my makeup. This is my composition. You know, granted, I've gone through lots of changes as a result of surrendering to this program. And the changes have been physically as well as spiritually and mentally. So it really is about remembering that and being in acceptance of that and learning to love self. Mm-hmm. You know, because I spent years in this just being diametrically opposed to who I am and struggling to be someone else. And, you know, so having this program reminds me, you know, it's a strong reminder that my God loves me for who I am, and I just have to start that process of loving me deeply for who I am. And as I said, just being in acceptance. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Renee. Thank you. Well said. Anybody else for this question? Yes, please, come forward. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, they're very loud. Hello. I'm going to need you to sign. Hi, darling.
Here I come again. You do have a lot of shoulders.
I do.
Yes,
I mean, you know I do.
So there was a time years ago, I actually met this guy that told me, he says, you know, you should look in the mirror and say, I love you. that just couldn't relate to that. Mm-hmm. So then I come in this program, and the same thing was going on about how this same kind of workshop, and how you should caress your body. So I was getting out of the shower, still had weight to lose, but I thought, all right, let's get the head on straight here. So I'd get out and I'd have these, my lotions and potions, as my cousin used to say, and I would massage my stomach. And I'm just lovingly, all those folds, all that freaking fat. And I thought, you know something? I'm going to love you. I'm just going to love you. And so that got down to my goal weight years and years ago, and got on maintenance and continued to lose weight. I remember I said, I have the same sponsor now, and I told her, I says, I think I'm dying. Because I'm just, can't stop losing weight. And so it did, it evened out and everything, but it was really an extremely interesting experience to go through. And then, lo and behold, there's nothing like being diagnosed with cancer to get what's really important in life. So I remember when I started chemo and I started losing my hair. And at first I was like, let's just pamper this thing. Maybe they won't come out, you know. And so one night, the hairdresser I have was a really good friend of mine. And she says, don't worry, Frances, we're going to go get you a really good wig. It's going to look just like your hair. And we did. And the night before, I stood in front of my bathroom mirror and just started taking it, the rest of it out. And when I finished, I looked in the mirror and cried. My crown and glory was gone. But the wig was nobody knew I had lost my hair. It was identical to my it was beautiful. Very, not like this. Mm-hmm. I've got more gray hair now. Mm-hmm. But it was just amazing mm-hmm. that no one really realized it. Oh, you're letting your hair grow? Like, mm-hmm, yeah. So now, the next thing that happened was the surgery. Mm. From here, all the way down. And having to look at that mm-hmm. in the mirror every time I got out of the shower. And so the loving and the coat and the potions had to start again. And trying to learn to accept this new body that is just like, whose is this? Mm-hmm. So my experience has been different than most people's in this room. Maybe not. But if you hang around long enough, you'll understand what's really important in this program. It's not about the outside. It's about the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay? Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on that particular question? If not, I will move forward. So number three, do you trust that your higher power will relieve you of the bondage of self so that you can have serenity and peace with your body flaws? Thank you. Come on. Yes, please. Is it Tammy? Yeah, Tammy, Santa Monica.
Emotional. It could be menopause, I don't know. And thank you so much for your share. Maybe tip this up a little bit for you. And I was.
You're slightly taller.
Yes.
We didn't know that until today. On Zoom, she looks like that.
And I just want to say that it's interesting with the dysmorphia. This is why I was attracted to this, because even now, when I look in the mirror, I go, "Ooh, my mom's thighs." You know, I'll see something, you know, crazy. And even with proportions, now it took me a while to understand why we measure, because in the beginning of my program, I was still seeing everything like this, and I would call my sponsor, "I'm full," and then I realized, oh, I'm still, my brain is still there. It's like my stomach has shrunk, so I had to learn to adjust, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, thank you. Can I recall a time when I asked? Yeah, when I came in here, the reason why I came in to see how is I got up to 207 pounds, and I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I had fun doing it. That stuff was great. I was homeless. I'm not going to lie. It's like when I was out there drinking, getting high, it was fun for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Same thing. And that sitting on the couch with that cold stuff was fun. Watch my gossip shows. See what Cardi B is doing. You know, that's going to change anything. And my mom was diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, and I kept hearing stuff about, you know, the white sweet stuff being a contributor. And both my mom and my sister had knee surgery. And I just looked at them and I saw my future. Mm. And I saw dementia. I was walking with a cane too because I was so heavy. I have small feet, so I'm 5'9", and I was carrying this weight. And I did sit down in front of my altar, and I said, you know, ancestors, show me how to eat. It was just like that. How do you want me to eat? A higher power, please have me eat in alignment to what you would. And I resisted CHOW, you know, at the beginning. And that's what it was, because I was bonded. Basically, I was bonded to that sugar and flour, you know. Although I'm gluten intolerant and lactose intolerant, they still have vegan and gluten-free stuff. They have more of the white. They have more of that stuff in it to make it for the fact that it's taken away from the other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, it's gluten-free. It's like, right, yeah. Yeah, and being a slave to it, talking about I'm free, you know. So I definitely believe that higher power can remove that from me. And and also with my body flaws and been looking in the mirror. It took me 50 years to look in the mirror and say, I love myself. Mm. I love myself. Even when the thoughts are self-mutilating, this warped thoughts are very self-mutilating. What am I willing to do to move forward? Stay and work this program. Mm. And I'm just going to say this because it's interesting we live in a place that throws women of a certain age away. And it's interesting as I'm looking at everybody's face, everyone is so beautiful. Mm. Mm. And her aging is so beautiful. Mm. And this place tells us that we're not. Mm. And I remember on the meeting, this woman was saying, it was in my Sunday meeting, she goes, I feel we're so special to be here. I said, we ain't special, we just bow down. We
crawling in here.
You know, my first thought is always, you know. Mm-hmm. And this program has taught me to definitely soften up. And mm-hmm. now I'm understanding that, greater society is lower vibrational, where they do throw away women who mm-hmm. age. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded here the 12 steps are high vibrational. This is yes. high vibration.
Yes.
Because our gray hair, our saggy skin, our wrinkles, it's, mm-hmm. I'm just seeing a bunch of beautiful, powerful faces here. Mm. And I'm going to get off because I'm against menopause.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
You are beautiful as well. Go ahead. You want a wipe? Is there anyone else to that particular question, or we can move on? That was wonderful. I really appreciate all of your shares. I'll go down to number 5 because I don't really know what our time is about now. How are we doing, Lindsay?
It's 4:32.
Okay. So, look at question number 5. I want you to rate yourself from 1 to 10. When you think about body dysmorphia, if you identify with being one like me, how does it make you feel? Angry, resentful, unhappy, guilty, painful, less than, hopeless, giving up, or frustrated? For me, they were all. Please come forward. Thank you so much.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for all your shares. Thank you, Shirley, for this topic. My name is Diane. I'm a compulsive eater and a bulimic.
Hi, Diane.
I am 82 years old, and I have never, ever worn a pair of shorts, ever. Until this day, I will not wear a pair of shorts because my legs are heavy and short, and I let that define me my whole life. And I'm realizing I still allow that to define me. Mm. So question number 5, it asks me the feelings that I have. The number one feeling that I have about my body is guilt. I feel guilty. I don't know where that came from, but I feel guilty that my legs are heavy and short. I've lost a lot of weight. I lost 90 pounds in this program. But my legs are still heavy and short. You know, and I realize I have to work on that even more. I don't know why that's so important. I grew up in the Twiggy generation. How many of you remember Twiggy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I felt I was so worthless because I could never, ever look like Twiggy. Mm. That's number one. Number two is anger. Mm. I feel angry that this was true about me. Number three, very resentful. Mm. Number four, extremely less than. I always felt less than. And number five, extremely painful. Thanks for letting me share.
No way, but thank you so much. I actually skipped over the question. Yes, I do see a hand in the back. The question is, what are your feelings when you think of the issues you have with your body flaws? Choose from the list of feelings below to identify. Please come forward. I see a hand in the back. Thank you, Mary. These are my Las Vegas families. Oh, I said Mary's not Mary. You look, yeah, sign in. See, I stayed out of the way. I let you do your job. And I want you to have a resentment later.
Hi, my name is Michelle. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, everyone, for, like, being here and even talking about this. I didn't know about body dysmorphia until I called a friend in program, and she said, you have body dysmorphia. Mm. And I said, you know, I love how I look in clothes, but I hate how I look in photos. And every time someone takes a photo of me, I just want to throw it away. And I think, wait, do I look like I look in the mirror? Because I think I look good. Or do I look like I look in the photo? And I get so confused. And that really is, thank you for pointing it out, like, that is the bondage of self, you know? I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what you think of me. I'm thinking about what he thinks of me, you know? And just recently, I went to a convention for work. And I was definitely the best dressed. Just check Facebook if you want. But but I got really sad because it meant so much to me, right? Mm. To get all those compliments, to be wearing those clothes. Like, I would just like to be okay with me, you know? And when I was really little in the sixth grade, I hated my thighs. And I've always hated my thighs. And you know what? I ride my Peloton bike almost three times a week, maybe more, and my thighs are strong, you know? And I can walk, and I can run, and I can jump. And, like, I never sit and think about being grateful for the ability to do that. I just hate them because they're big, you know? And I feel sad when you were asking about the feelings. I feel sad. I sort of like feel sad that we, you know, there's a beautiful Dove commercial with all these women and their different bodies, and everyone is beautiful. And I don't know why I think that, like, oh, if I was just, you know, I was bulimic once. I was anorexic once, and I was so sick inside. And I don't need to be that today. I could just, like, try one day at a time to love my body, love who I am, and I don't know who shared it, but I'm gonna rub lotion all over my thighs tonight. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? This is lovely. A lot of insightful information. 2 minutes to finish it up. Okay, I'll go down to question number 6. List 6 things that you have experienced by having an attitude of gratitude and letting God do for you what you could not do for yourself. Do I see a hand? Okay, come on up, and then Loretha. We got 2 minutes, and we have to finish on time just like we started on time. This has been great.
Hi, my name is Heather, and can you hear me?
I love that dress.
And what I really like about this program is that I'm given a food plan, so the only thing I need to worry about is just weighing and measuring my food when I'm abstinent, when I'm doing it. I don't have to worry about what the scale says. I don't have to worry about what size of pants, because none of that stuff matters. And I've always thought that, you know, if I get to a certain pant size, if I get to the number on the scale, that's when I'm going to be happy. But this whole program of letting go and letting God, letting go and letting my higher power, it's somebody said it's none of my business. And, you know, none of that stuff really matters. You know, can I walk from here to my car? Can, you know, I get out of bed by myself? And then, you know what? If I couldn't, they have beds that can help me get out. You know, just is my cholesterol okay? Am I going to get a limb cut off because of diabetes? Those are the things that really matters. Mm-hmm. You know, this outside thing, this isn't who I am. Mm-hmm. My hair, fingernails, none of that stuff is me. Me is the inside, and this is a program I can find self-love. Thank you.
Thank you. Loretha, you want to share? Please.
My name is Loretha. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hey, Loretha.
It says, list the 6 things that you have experienced by having an attitude of gratitude, letting go, letting God do for you what you could not do for yourself. And number one, that God has continued to stay my higher power. He has not let me go, and he's never going to do that. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to God for abstinence a day at a time. And that's what keeps me going every day. Grateful for life, for my life that my higher power has given me. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for my health. I have excellent, good health. You know, really, you know, truly, my doctor always tells me, you have the best health. You are in good health at all times. He tells me that, and I'm grateful for that. Grateful for the flexibility and the ability to do all the exercise that I do. You know, I go to exercise classes like yoga, Pilates, and I'm an avid walker, and I do that about 2 or 4 times a week. You know, and I don't mean just walking. I walk. And I love it. And I'm grateful to God that he has given me strength to do all of that. Grateful to God for protection. He protects me even when I don't even realize he's protecting me from all kinds of things in my life. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that he protects me from my own self, or getting myself back into not being in recovery. You know, he keeps me going every day in the program. Every day. And I'm grateful for that. And I'll say this last thing. I'm grateful that he is working on me to keep me from the arrogance. Like, when someone, I mean, I don't have a problem. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, if somebody, it's like, you know, at the office one day, and this man, he was walking down the hall, and he was a very attractive man. He was, you know, and so he was looking at me, and he was looking at me up and down. And I just looked at him up and down too, you know. And he says, "You are very attractive." I said, "Tell me something I don't know."
Oh. I love it, love it, love it. Love it.
And then, you know, and then a good friend of mine, you know, she been a friend of mine. We met in program years ago. And she called me one day, I was getting ready to go to work. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You don't really want to know." She said, "Yeah, I want to know. What are you doing?" I said, "I know you're getting ready to go to work." I said, "Yeah, I'm all dressed and getting ready to go to work." And I said, "I'm talking to you." She says, "Oh, okay, what are you else you're doing?" I said, "Do you really want to know?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm standing in the mirror looking at myself and telling myself how good I look."
All right.
So, those are the things, you know. That, you know, and I do it all in fun, you know. I want, you know, I like to laugh and have fun and enjoy and be able to smile. And that's the thing that I'm grateful for today. Thanks.
Please sign in. Wow, wonderful. This has really been a wonderful workshop. I hope that all of you have learned more about body dysmorphia as I have. It's been a pleasure to do this workshop for you. Really, really, really. And I want you to know, if nobody told you today how beautiful you are and that they love you, I do. From the bottom of my heart. From the bottom of my heart. After a moment of silence for the people, all of them, whoever they may be, that are outside still trying to find their ways to these rooms, please give them good directions so they can find us. Would you please, please join me in the serenity prayer after a moment of silence. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Keep loving yourselves. You're all gorgeous.